Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I know today if you'll stay tuned that God's Word will encourage you and lift you up. Today I want to talk about that my cup runneth over, and I pray today that your cup is running over with the blessings of God. For without God, you don't have hope, you don't have joy, and you don't have that peace of mind. A lot of people today, they're just existing, but God wants more for us than us just to exist. He wants us to thrive and be blessed. I'd like to pray with you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my listeners, and I ask today that you take your word and encourage their hearts. Lift them up this day, I pray. Make it known to them that they must be born again. Give them revelation, knowledge of that a man cannot come to God the Father except it be through your Son, Jesus Christ. Ye must be born again. Let that be the message that rings in their hearts today. God, we pray now for our country. Ask God that you touch our country. Lead our country in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, bring revival before it's too late. And I pray for our nation, Lord, and our leaders. And I ask God that you help them some way, somehow, to do that which is right. I pray for our pastors and our teachers that you'll give them a backbone to stand up and preach your word without fear, without favor, and without compromise. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to read from a scripture out of Psalms 23, and most of you know this part of scripture by heart. In the first verse, David the shepherd wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What a powerful verse that is, knowing when God is your shepherd, that no matter what the need is, and this is not talking just materialistic. We're in such a materialistic age now, that's all that people seem to think about, but let me tell you, there's more to life than materialistic. I know a lot of poor, miserable people. I know a lot of rich, miserable people. It's not what's in the bank account that makes your heart blessed. It's what's in the spiritual account. And if your spiritual account is not with Jesus, you're bankrupt. I don't care who you are. And you're not prosper if you don't have Jesus. Money and wealth is not the sign of prosperity. How you stand with Jesus is a sign of prosperity, because one day when you stand before God, let me explain this to you, it's going to be nobody's record but your own. It's not going to be what the preacher or evangelist or the TV evangelist or who said they said. It's just going to be you and God, and you're going to give an account of who you have made your shepherd. Either the Lord is your shepherd and he's leading you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, or the devil is your shepherd leading you right straight into hell, but the choice is yours. You choose today who is going to shepherd your life. Paul, in Philippians 4, verse 19, wrote this from a prison cell. He wrote this from a prison cell. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He wrote that from a prison cell. He, like the shepherd boy David, knew that when God was your shepherd, that no matter where you were, whether you're in prison or no matter what your situation, no matter what, but my God shall supply all you need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The same message Paul was preaching from a prison cell. Same message that David could write from a sheep's pasture. That the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. You say, well, a man in prison could talk that way? Listen, when God is your God, I don't care where you're placed, in a shepherd's field, in a prison cell, no matter what it is, you won't be in want, because you know the Lord is with you, and he will sustain you, and he will help you to go through whatever you got to go through, and not with just be an endurance time, but even in a shepherd's field, or even in a prison cell, like Paul wrote, you can be blessed, and you can enjoy the blessings of God. The location doesn't stop the blessings of God. God can reach you no matter where you're at, whether you're in a prison cell, whether you're in a field, whether you're in a White House, or whether you're in a small house, a big house, a tent, or living in the back of your car. God, when you make him your shepherd, he can meet your needs. That's powerful. If you just took out one verse this morning and go with that, you'll be blessed of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all you need." Same message. And it's all through Jesus Christ. Even in the Old Testament, they had a glimpse of Jesus, the Messiah to come. But Paul knew the Messiah. He met him on the road of Damascus. Have you met him today is what I want to know. And down in this fifth verse of Psalms 23, I love this. It says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, when one of the sheep would become hurt, whether it be from a wild animal or whether it be from the terrain or whether it even be from one of the flock, the shepherd would take that wounded sheep and nurse it back to health and watch over it until it was made strong again. Some of you today have been hurt. You've been injured. And I have to think about even Paul in prison. He had been hurt. He'd been falsely misused. He'd been beaten. He'd been shipped. So many things had happened to him. But he had peace in his heart because, you see, God had healed him and restored him and made him whole. And the shepherd knew that when one of the sheep would become injured, that the shepherd would take that. He didn't cast him away or say, well, you're hurt. You're no more good. I can't use you. He would nurse him back to health and make him whole again. And that's what God wants you to do. Not long ago, I was in revival in Tazewell, Virginia, and I had my 2-year-old great-grandson with me, and we were in Hardee's getting our breakfast, and this elderly man walked up to me and pointed down to my great-grandson and said, when I was that age, my mother walked off and left me, and he said, I've never gotten over it. I've never gotten over it. And I thought how sad that was. What a sad testimony to know that something happened to you when you were just a baby and you never got over it. You never could have a full life because you held on to the hurt, what somebody did to you when you was a small child. And it's a lot of you that I'm talking to right now. Things have happened to you in your past and you won't let go of it. You still wallowing in that hurt and in that pain. You won't get on the shepherd's table and let him heal you and let him restore you and let him cause you to forgive them that have falsely done wrong to you and hurt you and done things to you to try to destroy you. Joseph, when he was put into prison and horrible things happened to him that his brothers caused, when he was finally exalted and brought to be leader over Egypt, second in command to Pharaoh himself and in charge of the food. And when he looked out one day and saw those that tried to hurt him standing before him wanting something to eat, Joseph looked at him and told his brothers, he said, you meant it for harm. You meant it to hurt me, but my God meant it to good. See, God can take the hurt in your life, and he can heal you and put you on that shepherd's table, and what the enemy meant for hurt can be turned around and made good. The Lord said that his thoughts towards you were good. He wants to give you good. He don't want to give you evil. Some of you, the Lord is your shepherd, like I've said many times before. The Lord, if he's your shepherd, he's going to heal you and he's going to lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But if the enemy, if the devil is your shepherd, you're being led into destruction and into hell itself. But the choice is yours. You choose who is going to be your shepherd. And he went on to say, Thou anointest my head with oil. The sheep would become infected with parasites while out in the field, and the oil poured on their heads would not only be for the healing of the hurts that they would get, but also to keep the parasites off of them. And I think about today the parasites of this world, that if you'll let the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon you, the anointing of God which breaks the yoke and bondage, if you'll let the anointing of God right now wherever you're at, some of you are in pain, some of you are suffering a lot of affliction. Some of you have got heartbreak. Some of you are in a terrain that's hard on you. But let the anointing of God come down on you. I pray that the anointing of God, which breaks the yoke of bondage, which breaks the hold that Satan has on you, will come on you right now in the name of Jesus. And that yoke will be broken. Healing will come. And God will restore you. And you'll be able to forgive and go on with your life and not let past flesh hurts destroy you or bring you down, but let the anointing of God come. You see, parasites in our life can come on the outside and attack itself, but before the parasites of this world can attach itself to us, first, it's got to come into our thinking. We got to allow it and agree with it before it can take hold on you. You got to believe the enemy's lie before the enemy can come in and bring destruction on you. Some of you have believed the enemy's lie that you'll never be any better, and that thing has come to pass in your life. Some of you have believed the enemy's lie that you could never get over the hurt in your life, and you won't until you believe the truth of the living God, that God is your shepherd and you shall not want. He can bring you out of that thing. Some of you are incarcerated, and it seemed like it's never any hope of you being delivered, but your mind's got to be delivered before your body can be delivered. And if you'll let God deliver you, bars can't hold you, a cell can't bring you down, but God can bring you out. But you got to know that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And you got to say, Lord, anoint me with the oil right now. Pour out your anointing on me, God, and bring me out of this thing. Pour out your anointing on me, God, and deliver me and set me free. Pour out your anointing, God, on me and make me whole. Pour out your anointing on me, God, and bring me out of this bondage that I'm in. Pour out your anointing and cause the parasites of this world to leave me and the destruction of this world that's come upon me. Oh, Jabez wrote, he said, deliver me from evil and sin that it might not grieve you. Oh, sin and evil will grieve you, but the anointing of God will break that yoke, and where there was grieving and sorrow, God will replace it with joy. For the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That will give you strength. It's God's joy. And joy is knowing that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. It makes no difference what man tries to do. I'll be all right. One time I got very deathly ill, and I was vastly approaching the end of my life, and it looked like the more I prayed and the more I done, the worse I got. And I asked a friend of mine one time, I said, what am I doing wrong? I don't understand. I'm praying all the prayers. I've tried to forgive everybody. I'm trying to do right. What am I missing? And my friend looked at me and he said, Blimey, he said, you got to know that no matter what happens to you, you're going to be all right. And when he said that, I've heard a lot of sermons of faith. I've heard a lot of messages. But when he said that, something rang in my spirit. And then from then on out, no matter what attacked my body, I would say it to myself, I'm going to be all right. That's all right. I might be going through a hard time now, but I'm going to be all right. The Lord is not going to leave me injured, and the Lord is not going to leave me in a state. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's anointed my head with oil, and that anointing, I'm going to be all right. And you got to know this morning, you're going to be all right. You got to know that when God is your shepherd, you're going to be all right. Man might have meant it for evil. Man might have meant it to hurt you and to kill you, but God will turn that thing around and make it for good. Can you grab a hold of that this morning? Can you hold on to that this morning? Can you believe that today? If you can, I declare to you that God will bring you out, and God will restore you, and God will anoint your head with oil. And then it goes on in this last verse, part of this verse 5, my cup runneth over. Not only will he put you on the table, the shepherd's table, where you can be healed and restored, but he'll anoint you with oil, and then he'll run your cup over. A lot of people don't know the customs of the biblical day at this time. When you stayed in a stranger's house, you were allotted to stay a certain amount of time. And when that time was up, the head of the house would take you to the table, and he would fill your cup up. And then you would drink the cup, and then you would know that was a symbol for you to thank your hostess and then leave the house. But if he took you to his table, and he took that cup before you, and he ran it over, he filled filled it up, and then he ran it over. When that cup would run over, that would be a sign that you could stay in that house as long as you wanted to. You could dwell there forever. And that's the reason David wrote in the 6th verse, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Why could he do that? Because God had run his cup over. You see, when God is your shepherd and you shall not want, your cup's going to run over, and you're going to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. When you're in the presence of God, the enemy can't destroy you. When you're in the presence of God, you may be like Paul on a ship that was breaking up, but God will see to it that you get to the shore safely. Oh, like the Paul and Silas when they were put in prison. They began to pray and praise God, but their cup was running over, and the running over cup caused the chains to fall off and an earthquake to come, salvation to come to the jailer. Let God run your cup over this morning. Let God anoint your head with oil. Get on that shepherd's table and let him heal you. And the Bible says, "My cup runneth over." And I declare to you today that my cup is running over. My cup runneth over. And like God said in his word, that he would give us gospel portion, that he would fill us our baskets, he would fill it up, he would press it down, and it would be running over. God always gives in abundance. When he fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 small barley loaves, he just didn't feed the men and the women and the children. He had some running over. He had 12 baskets left over. I'm telling you today, through the authority of God's word, God will run your cup over. Put your cup down and let God be your shepherd. Quit trying to run your own life. You know you've done everything your way. Proverbs says that there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end of the ways of death. You've run your own life. You've done your own thing. You've done your own partying. You've left God out, and you have a void in your life. You may be sitting with the biggest bank account in town, but it's not going to help you when you stand before God. You might have the finest clothes in town, but that's not going to help you when you stand before God. You might not even have a dime in your pocket, but that's not going to buy you anything when you stand before God. You might not have a big wardrobe, but that's still not going to make it. The Bible says that it is appointed once the man to die, and at the judgment, it's not going to be bought up what you had or what you didn't have. What is going to be bought up is, did you have Jesus or you didn't have Jesus? That's the have and the hasn'ts that's going to be bought up. I had a friend in Northern California. When he would come to see me and my husband on our mobile chapel, he would always holler, "If you ain't got Jesus, you better get Jesus, because you're going to need Jesus." And I'm telling you that same message today. If you ain't got Jesus, you better get Jesus, because you're going to need Jesus. I don't care what position you have in this life. I don't care where you think you're located. It's going to come a day that the breath is going to leave your body, and your heart won't beat anymore. The doctors won't be able to do you any good. It's going to be goodbye world, hello eternity. And it only if you made Jesus your Lord and Savior are you going to spend eternity in heaven. But the choice is yours. It's heaven or it's hell. A lot of people don't like to preach about hell and sin anymore because they want to be politically correct. Well, I'm telling you, it's politically correct to tell you the truth. The truth is, if you ain't got Jesus, you're going to hell. If you ain't got Jesus, you better get Jesus, because you're going to need Jesus. Jesus loved you enough to die on the cross for you. He had you in mind when he was on the cross. He did not come to condemn you, but he come that through him you might be saved. But you have to receive him before you can be born again. You have to make him your Savior. You have to repent of your sin and ask forgiveness. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we all must repent. We all must come unto repentance and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says, "My cup runneth over." And then David wrote in there, he said, "Surely, good goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I like to tell people I'm being stalked every day of my life. I have goodness and mercy following me everywhere I go. I've traveled this country over for, we've been in trucking for Jesus now for 40 years, and I've gone into truck stops. I've parked our chapel. We have parked our chapel in the back stops, a back line of a lot of truck stops. We parked in the front line. We parked in the middle line. We've been in places and seen things and heard things. Evil would be all around us, but it never come nigh our dwelling, because goodness and mercy followed us all the days of our life. Never one time could we lay down at night and not sleep. God gave us sweet sleep, even in the midst of evil, because you see, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I'm telling you this morning, rise up and let God heal you. Rise up and let your shepherd anoint your head with oil. Rise up and let goodness and mercy begin to follow you. Rise up and let God come in and you dwell in his house forevermore. If I'm not preaching, I'm getting ready to preach. If I'm not getting ready to preach, I'm packing, going to preach. And if I'm not going to preach and preaching, I'm coming back from preaching. That's all I want to do. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've been in a lot of big houses as I've traveled all these years. They even had a day for us in the Oklahoma State Senate. They gave Trucking for Jesus a day of honor in the Oklahoma State Senate. Senator Sam Helton, we were his guests that day. They gave us an award for the work that had been done through Trucking for Jesus, and it was a grand day. And then they had a grand dinner for us. It was a grand day. But as good as it was, I choose living in the house of God. I want to be where some old preacher is going to stand up and preach the pure gospel to me. I want to be where somebody's going to stand up and sing the old blood songs. They're wiping them out anymore. They don't want to hear about what can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. They don't want to hear that anymore. They want to wipe out the old hymns. But I'm telling you, that when the trump of God shall sound and time shall be no more, I'm going to be, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Not because of anything good that I have done, but because I made Jesus my shepherd. One day as a teenage girl, down at an altar in a revival, I ran to the altar and I fell upon my knees. And I said, God, I'm a sinner. And from then on out, it was restoration time. God came down and forgave me of my sins. I felt them when they rolled away, the sins of my burdens of my heart rolled away. And I've been rejoicing night and day ever since. Oh, let me tell you, never been the same. Don't want to go back. There's nothing in this world. I never wanted to turn back. I don't want to go back into this world. I've been in the place where I didn't follow God like I ought to, and I was miserable. Don't want to be there. Don't want to go there. Want to stay away from evil. I want him to anoint my head with oil and my cup run over. I want to dwell in his presence, because let me tell you what's getting ready to come on our country. Great judgment is coming on our country, not because it's God's will, but because our country has rejected God. And when you reject God, you reject God's hand of mercy and protection. Great judgment is coming because we have left the orals of God and we have neglected to serve him. But I'm not under divine judgment today. I'm under divine protection, because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And when I know the signs of the prophecy of time, we right at the coming of Jesus, and I see all of the evil in the one world government coming, and our country being taken over by socialism, I don't have to worry and I don't have to fear, because God told me in his word, when you saw these things, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that's what I'm doing to people. I'm looking up. My redemption draws nigh. Jesus is getting ready to come back, and he's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish or without wrinkle. And one, what I'm saying is a bride that's been kept from the parasites of this world, that's been anointed with God's holy anointing and walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I pray today that you'll let God clean up your life. Let God clean up your heart. Let God clean up your conversation. It's one thing to go to hell yourself, but it's another thing for you to take your children. And a lot of you right now, instead of getting ready to go to the house of God, you hooking up the old boat and get out in the fishing pole. And it's nothing wrong with going fishing. It's nothing wrong with spending time with your family, but don't let it take the place of worshiping your God. That's the number one thing you need to teach your children, to honor God. Because if they don't honor God and know why they should live right, they're not going to live right. And you leading them in that path, you showing them what you think is more important, and that your pleasure and your sports is more important than God. And one day you're going to regret what you've done, and you're going to pay a high price for what you taught your children, because you're going to reap what you've sown. And the only thing that's going to bring them in is the love of God. God will bring them in through His love and mercy, but you've got to be taught His word, and you've got to walk in His word. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Can you say that today? I pray that if you can't say that right now, you'll ask Jesus to forgive you your sins. That right now you say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save my soul." And He'll do that. He said, "I'll in no wise cast out anyone that comes to me. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you caught up in. God will forgive you." And I want you to understand this. There's no bondage that you're in that God can't break out off of you. If you'll ask Him, He'll deliver you from alcohol. He can deliver you from drugs. He can set you free. He can give you a clean life. Not only clean living from abstinence of the sin, but clean in your heart. Knowing that you have a purpose in your life, and knowing that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. If you want me to pray with you, I invite you to write me at my address, and I'll pray for you. I promise I'll pray for you, but I want you to pray for me too. See, that's a two-way street. We need to pray one for another, and I ask that you pray for me, that I keep on keeping on for Jesus, that I keep on preaching the word across the airwaves. It takes a lot of finances to do this, but I know what God ordains, He will sustain, and God will lay on the hearts of the people to help at the appointed time. I don't think God's people ought to be beggars. I don't think God's people ought to make merchandise in the house of God, because my husband was, and I was in a revival meeting one night, and the pastor passed the offering plate for an evangelist, and when it came back to him, he looked down in it and he said, "Well, this ain't very much. We're going to pass it around again. This is too little." And my husband stood up and said, "Sir, if God only gives you a quarter, all you're going to need is a quarter. And I know what He's put in my cup will be what I need for today. And He just won't put just in enough to get me through the day, but He'll run it over." And He'll do the same for you, as He did for all of His people in His word. Get in the word. God's word is awesome. God's word is living. Pray one for another. Be faithful to God's house. Pray for our nation. We need help in our country. Pray for protection over our country. We need help. God is faithful. I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and ask that you tune in again next week and visit my website, truckingforjesus.org. My books are on there, and many of my sermons on there, and I know the website will encourage and bless your heart. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for hearing God's word, but hear it with the intent to obey it. I want to tell you again that David wrote in Psalms 23, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's my testimony today, and I want that to be your testimony today, that you'll dwell in His house, which is His presence, forevermore, for there is peace and safety in the presence of God. God bless you today.